Ian McIntyre has a great piece on him. We'll talk about that and much more as he joins us here today. Ian, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing very well. What's this wet gray stuff outside? I
hear it's rain. Yeah, I hear it's rain. We've had a pretty nice run here overall, although it's been raining at night and sunny in the days.
Yeah, well, you know, that's nice. That's nice. That's a nice combination. We have had a pretty good run. I can't remember, and I know people don't want to hear me talk about the weather, but I can't remember, and I've lived my whole life here, where it's not just like we had a nice summer, but it's hard to remember what last winter felt like, because that's how good spring was. Like April, May, June, that just felt fantastic too. But it feels, you know, school's back in. My kids are at university, and it now feels like school weather.
It really does. And the heat wave this summer probably made it difficult on your garden. How did it fare this summer?
Well, the tomatoes actually liked its God, and thank you very much for asking. The well-being of my garden is never far from the forefront of my mind. But things did dry out a little bit. Some of the other veggies, not so good, but that's probably my fault for not watering as regularly as I should. But the tomatoes and basil, they love the heat and they go well together, like you guys on a show.
Thank you. That's very nice. I'm wondering
Scotty's
if you made
ginger, though, so I'm not sure if he loves the heat like the tomatoes do.
Maybe Faber is the Bocconcini.
Yes, I was about to say if you were going to make a Caprese salad, but you've already answered that question. Are you a Man U supporter, by the way?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I am not.
I didn't know if
but
we had to get
you
into
know what?
That here.
I'm not one of these guys. I have a couple of teams I like more than others, but I don't pay attention enough to have the moral authority to hate anybody else's team. It used to be. I used to devote more time and energy to it, but no. So, Man United, what do you want to talk about Man United?
Well, they got upset in Champions League today.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
By the Swiss Young Boys.
By whom?
Swiss Young Boys.
Oh.
See, you're not that mature. You're not that mature yet.
You know, I am aware of the team, the Young Boys. Yes. Well, you know, those Young Boys, they have youth on their side.
They certainly do. Ian McIntyre joining us here today. Sportsnet's Triple Threat Wizard on Rinto and Sermon with Jamie Dodd.
That was all a setup just so you could say Swiss Young Boys took them
yes,
down, right?
That's it. Yes, I just wanted to be able to say that in context that was just fitting for this program. All right, let's move on to some of the youth on the Vancouver Canucks. You talked to part of that youth movement. He is Thatcher Demko. How different is he from the player you talked to, from the player you saw a couple of years ago?
Well, in talking to him, he's always been that guy, because I remember Thatcher Demko at the first prospects camp. This is the summer, the orientation camp, where they bring in mostly the guys they've just drafted, the college kids that maybe they drafted a year before. And I remember talking to Thatcher at Shawinigan Lake, I believe it was, in Vancouver Island, in a July, and there's nobody around, and just being, I think at that time he was 19 years old, and just being struck by how this guy has it all together mentally. Like, he was mature, he was articulate, he was thoughtful, but he also had a plan for himself. Like, he was clearly a guy who had a lot of belief in himself and had a plan on how to become the player that he envisioned. And all I've seen since then, frankly, is he's continued that plan. What last year did for him physically was just, you know, performing at the level he did. It just showed that he is ready for this step now, and this step being an NHL starting goalie. But talking to him the other day, I mean, the plan isn't to stop there, right? The plan is to be as good as he can be. And that means being an elite goalie. And whether, you know, as per Justin Bourne's, you know, assertion, a top 10, I think that's well within his possibilities, capabilities. I mean, you can look at last year even, and he was kind of, and I would admit this, he was erratic at times, right? He was terrible in his first three starts. Then he was good and trended to fantastic. And then he got COVID, and then he was beaten up by COVID and wasn't very good when he came back. And then at the end of the year, and I mentioned this in my story on sportsnet.ca, at the end of the year, he played possibly his most impressive hockey, because at a time where the team was absolutely hollowed out, it was running on vapors. He himself was not 100%. He had struggled coming out of COVID. Well, he somehow got back and played probably his best hockey of the season over his final six starts. And Ian Clark, his goalie coach, said that was maybe the most impressive thing about his season. So when you actually dig into his statistics, you look at some of the, if you can get the proprietary statistics for goalies about expected goals saved, and even on the public websites, he trends well on all of them. But you could make the argument that he was a top 10 goalie last year. But I think he's that good, and I think he's going to be even better this year than he was last year.
The other thing that strikes me about reading your piece with Demko is the way he's speaking, like more of as one of the leaders of this team. And that's been a topic in Vancouver for the last couple of years. Some of the leadership that's here to shepherd the young players into that role. I'm not saying you get rid of all the vets or anything like that. Not at all. But if we reach that point now, Ian, where it is the young players who form the balance of leadership on this roster?
Well, you hope it will be. And in practical terms, it almost has to be, because there just aren't that many experienced players. And then experienced players with tenure. It pretty much stops at, what, Brandon Sutter? I'm trying to think. I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, obviously, ton of experience. He'll be a leader. But he's new to the group. Hamonic, second year with the group. Shen has just come back, and he has to find his spot on the roster. I'm trying to think up front. You know, Tyler Mott has been here a while, but he's not an older player. So it has to be. I think the story of free agency from 2020, where the Canucks saw that conga line of incumbents leaving the organization. I've said before, I think the biggest mistake the Canucks made in that wasn't necessarily matching contracts to keep Chris Tanev and Jacob Markstrom and Troy Stetcher, but it was underestimating the impact that losing them would have on the culture of the team. And culture is another word for leadership. And so there was a void after that, and I think it's really important that people like Thatcher Demko, Brock Besser, who, believe it or not, is the fourth longest tenured player now on the Canucks. And, of course, Pettersson and Hughes in time. It's really important for these guys to step forward and yes, take those reins of leadership, because they're going to be driving the team on the ice. And there aren't a lot of experienced older players left, especially ones who have been around long enough to speak up in the dressing room. So it is important. I found it interesting that he said that as well. When I asked him about what he's trying to accomplish this year, he talked about consistency on the ice and maybe taking more of a leadership position off of it.
Well, and Ian, when you talk about leadership with the Canucks, of course, you have to talk about the captain, Bo Horvat, as well. And, you know, he's another player that all of a sudden he's one of the longest tenured players with the team. He's, you know, 26, so not even particularly young by NHL standards anymore. And I know you had the chance to chat with him last week, I believe it was, and he had some comments about encouraging everyone to get vaccinated. It really does seem like he has fully embraced and completely grown into being the captain and being the kind of first among equals as leaders on this team.
Yeah, and the interesting thing now that we're pivoting from Demko to Horvat is he had that same aura, and a lot more people saw it because he was in the NHL at 19. But he was an old soul when he was 19 and has always brought a maturity to the game, even when he was a young player. And he's although he's a young man, you're right, he's not a young player anymore. Seven seasons going into number eight, he's the longest serving Canuck now. And he has always, I think, embraced the idea of leading from the front. You know, he's not, and there aren't many really loud spoken guys. You know, one of the misconceptions that people outside of a hockey team, or probably any sports team for that matter, have is about leadership, is they think it's always the loudest voice and compelling speeches and at times physical confrontation, which is ridiculous. Like, nobody grabs a teammate, you know, by the shirt to get him to play better. But it has everything to do with how you conduct yourself, not just during games, but how you conduct yourself in practice. How are you when you arrive at the rink? What kind of attitude do you have? What kind of training did you do in the off season? And Horvat has always had that. So it doesn't surprise me that he has evolved and is evolving into the leader that he is. He has always wanted that responsibility. And certainly doesn't shy away from it. And I love the fact that he will kind of get out of his lane at times, like he did with me last week, where he said he hopes, he wasn't telling anyone what to do, but he said he hopes all his teammates get vaccinated because it's just better for everybody. It's better health-wise. It's better for how the team operates, how it travels, how the players can be together on the road. It just makes sense on so many levels. And I'm glad he said what he did.
Well, I agree with you, and I think it reflects, you know, he sees the role not just as leading the hockey team, but being a leader in the community as well. And he's in such a high-profile position in Vancouver and British Columbia that there's a lot of truth to that, and I agree with you. It's great to see him embrace it. You know, another Canuck who's doing the media tour thing in Toronto right now is one of the newcomers, Jason Dickinson. And I saw he made some comments, I believe it was to Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman on 31 Thoughts, saying, you know, the Canucks have been very upfront with me that they haven't said, okay, this is where you're going to play in the lineup. They've said, be flexible, be ready to do different things on different nights. And I think just looking at the forward group in general, it does seem to be a much more versatile group. How much of an asset will that versatility and flexibility be for Travis Green and his coaching staff this year?
Oh, well, all coaches. I mean, the first thing that any coach will tell you is he wants good players and as many of them as possible. And then beyond that, he wants versatility. He wants options. He wants a choice to play a guy, in Travis's case, like Jason Dickinson. He can play the third line center, but who says he can't play first line wing? And when I say that, I'm not projecting him to be a 30 goal scorer if he plays with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. But he certainly has, seen him last week at UBC, he has a ton of speed and size and skill. And he can keep up with those guys. And if he adds some physicality and an element of grit and size to a top six line, then that's great. Personally, I think third line center has been such a big hole, black hole for this team that, you know, they now have a guy who can do that. Let's try it and see. But I know that Travis isn't wed to this idea that Dickinson has to be quote-unquote a matchup center, that he can play him farther up the lineup. Of course, if you play him on the wing, maybe you play JT Miller at center. I think the options the Canucks have, and then you have guys who can play either wing as well, which is important. And you even have guys, say even somebody like Nils Höglander, who showed last season a real defensive awareness. So you can play him against good players, or if you have a line that you're matching against the other team's best line, but you could also play him in an offensive role. Connor Garland, great skill, and I think is going to be a really good player with this team, especially with the opportunity he's going to be given and the belief that the organization is showing in him already that he didn't feel in Arizona. I think he's going to be great, but there's more to his toolbox than just contributing offense. You know, he does a lot more. So he's another guy. You can play him in different ways. And so often it seemed in recent years, you know, when Travis Green had to look for his third line center or his first line winger, I mean, it was by default. He had no choices. And sometimes the only choice he had wasn't a great one. Now, right now, with everybody healthy and supposing that everyone's in camp and signed and vaccinated, they have more options, I think, than they've had probably any time since the team was broken up after the last Stanley Cup. They have at front, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about defense. We all know they still have issues there. But up front, this is the deepest, most talented, most versatile group they've had since the remnants of the Cup final team was dispersed.
As the old saying goes, deadlines spur action. There is a soft deadline in the middle of next week. That is because training camp starts in the middle of next week for the Vancouver Canucks. If you are a betting man, are Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes suited up for the first practice of training camp?
That is an excellent question, Scotty. It's a no-brainer if you're going to say here for the start of the season. I don't know if they're going to be there for the first practice at training camp. Brock Besser was not. Bo Horvat was, barely. They signed Horvat during the Young Stars tournament in Penticton. So he was ready to go, like, I think it was 2 days later at camp, or 3 days later camp started. I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to qualify and say I could be wrong, although everybody knows that because it's me. I just think, you know, they've had so long to have a kick at this. And, you know, neither side has divulged much at all about what the negotiations have been. But at this point, I think it's safe to assume they've talked about long-term deals. They've gone short-term. They've gone medium-term, which is kind of a new thing that we've seen with franchise players, where maybe a guy doesn't sign for 7 or 8 years. Maybe he signs for 5 years. We just saw, you know, Thatcher Demko, 5-year contract. I think they've talked about those. And to be Captain Obvious here, nothing has gained traction. They haven't been able to figure anything out. So I think by this stage, they're probably looking at, okay, what works just to get them signed and have them in? And those are probably bridge deals. And then you take another run at this in 2 or 3 years. I think that's reading the tea leaves. I think that's where it's going. But the fact that, you know, there's no deal and here we are second week of September, and the Canucks have money. They don't have enough money to do two long-term deals, but they have enough money to do one plus a bridge. And the fact that even with that flexibility the Canucks have financially, which they didn't have when the offseason began, there is still no deal in place for these guys. So it wouldn't surprise me if it goes a little while longer. I sure hope they're there for training camp.
This question may surprise you, but I know you'll be convicted one way or the other. It is Taco Tuesday. Does taco salad qualify for Taco Tuesday?
No, of course not. Of course not.
Yes, thank you, Ian. Thank you.
It's a salad. It's not
what
a taco.
What is wrong with you? It's a deconstructed
salad.
Taco.
Which is another way of saying not a taco.
When you
oh,
say,
my
let me ask you this, Scotty. When somebody says yes. taco to you, what's the first ingredient you think of in taco?
The taco
the
meat.
The taco. No.
No, the taco no, you're, meat,
you're,
Ian.
You're lying. You're lying.
I'm
That's
not lying.
Thing.
No
the taco
question
shell
I'm thinking the taco meat.
Wrap. But meat is generic. You're saying just generally you'll think about chicken or pork or beef or
the
shrimp.
The next thing you're going to tell me is that you're a hard taco guy.
Not since I was a kid. No, I'm soft. I'm tortilla wrap guy.
Oh, so now you're probably saying a burrito qualifies, but a taco salad doesn't. Like, this is what you're telling
actually,
me now?
Good point.
Thank
point.
You.
But taco salad is not taco. The only way it's taco is that it's called a taco salad. It's not a taco. Don't be
taco
ridiculous.
Taco chips could be you're a taco have, bowl that it's served in. I have many ways to deconstruct your argument here. I've been doing
have,
this all
you're
morning.
You're going to have to go to Eddie Lack for the definitive word on this.
We'll find out later today, perhaps. Maybe he will be on with the People Show and answer that question. I thank you very much, sir, for your comments on Young Boys, taco salad, and, of course, the Vancouver Canucks, when we can mix that in as well.
The Young Boys are probably celebrating with tacos right now, but the real thing, not just the salad, not just the filling, the actual shells.
Thank you, Ian.
See you guys.